Well, let's turn together to the book of Habakkuk, and we're in chapter 3. It's been a bit of a break as we had Easter, so to remind us, before I read chapter 3, Habakkuk is the faithful prophet of God. He's serving in Judah in the time before Babylon comes and overwhelms them and carries them off to exile. And we saw how in chapter 1 the oracle begins with a cry of faith. Verse 2 of chapter 1, the how long cry of Habakkuk. It's perplexed, yes, but it is the cry of someone who's convinced that there is a God out there. The living God is there, and he is personal. He hears and he speaks. He communicates and he is moral. He sees what is going on and he has an attitude towards it. He is just. He will resolve the evil and the wickedness that Habakkuk sees within and without. He will listen. It's a cry of faith. It's a cry about injustice and iniquity within Judah. And he says, why do you see iniquity? Why do you idly look on wrong? Verse 3 of chapter 1. And the Lord's answer is surprising to him, isn't it? Because the Lord says, I will send the Babylonians who are themselves unjust and full of iniquity. And Habakkuk cries out again in verse 13, will you who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at them? Why do you send them? And so he determines, chapter 2, verse 1, to stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see. I will wait. What will he say to me? And what will I answer concerning my complaint? And last time we met about this, around this word of God, we looked at chapter 2, which is what God will say in response to my complaint, the answer of the Lord. And it's an answer that brings the earth to complete silence. Verse 20 of chapter 2, let all the earth keep silence before him. It is the answer to end all questions. And what was the answer? Well, the answer was, Habakkuk, have faith. Have faith. Chapter 2, verse 4, the righteous shall live by his faith. Life. There is life to come. I will deliver my people. And we saw how Paul, when he wants to summarize the whole gospel, he reaches for this very verse in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And he quotes it in Romans and he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. This is gospel here in Habakkuk. Have faith in the promise of life. And so it is the promise for us too. The gospel that goes down the ages, and the response of the believer is faith, a hope in what is not seen, of life in all its fullness in Christ, enjoying the presence of God unmediated for all eternity. That was the answer to Habakkuk's question. It was have faith in life, have faith in the gospel promise of justice also. We saw that from verse 6 to 19, that the woes to the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. Justice will come to these people who feel so strong. They will receive their due penalty, says the Lord. And we saw how that Babylon stands in a larger sense for the world, organized against the Lord and his Christ. And so it takes us all the way to Revelation, where we see the smoke of Babylon rising to heaven, and the heavens rejoice in the justice of the Lord. So have faith in the gospel promise of justice. Justice is coming. But when? That was the final part of the faith in chapter 2. When? Well, in God's perfect timing. Back to verses 2 and 3 of chapter 2. When will it come? It hastens. Verse 3. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. God will bring this justice, this life in all its fullness, in his good time. The slowness of God is not because he cannot do it yet. he's got some obstacle in his way. No, it is his perfect patience, his timing. And we are in that age now, this gospel age, when the gospel must go out to all nations, to all people, and then the end will come. All of that was in the Lord's response in chapter 2. And so now we expect an answering response from Habakkuk, don't we? Because in chapter 2, verse 1, he said, I will wait to see what he will say to me and what I will answer. So that's what we're expecting, and that's what we get in chapter 3. So I'm going to read now chapter 3, which is Habakkuk's answer. And it is a patient prayer, a song to the Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 3, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, according to Shigionoth, which we think is like a musical term. If you look at verse 19 at the end of the chapter, to the choir master with stringed instruments. It's like a psalm. It's given some musical direction. So this is a song, a prayer in song. And what does Habakkuk sing? Well, from verse 2, O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers, or your indignation against the sea, when you rode on your horses on the chariot of salvation? You stripped the sheath from your bow, calling for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place, at the light of your arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. You pierced with his own arrows the heads of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. I hear, and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments. Amen. At the end of this prophecy, Habakkuk's circumstances haven't changed. His situation hasn't changed. But his complaint of faith has turned into a song of faith. A song of patient, calm and joyful and confident prayer. and in Christ we can all learn to sing along with him too. As I read it, you will have noticed that his song is based on the revelation of who God is in the past, what God has done in the past. That's the main body of information he calls upon, he refers to, the revelation of God. It's a rich in scripture song, as all good worship songs ought to be, what God has revealed in the past. So verse 2, I have heard the report of you. And verse 16, I hear. It's attention to the revelation of God in the past that drives Habakkuk to his worship now in the present. And what is he looking back at? Well, as I read it, you'll have heard echoes, hopefully, as we've been looking at Joshua. We've been hearing of these sorts of things, haven't we? We hear echoes of the Exodus, the rescue of God's people. That's always the main point of reference throughout the Old Testament. We keep going back to it again and again because it is such a seminal event. It's so significant in the life of God's people. And so in verse 3, when we read, God came from Teman, that's the south area below the Dead Sea. It is the Exodus area. We're located in that area. They come out of Egypt. And we look at a time when, verse 3, the earth was full of his praise. He looks back to a time when the glory of the Lord, the name of the Lord, was witnessed, understood. And that, for the first time, was in the Exodus. And so his song, for the main part, is a kind of patchwork of the experience of going out of Egypt and into the land. It's not all in chronological order, but it is all referring back to those great experiences of God's people. So verses 3 and 4, in that part, we read of what happened at Sinai on the mountain, the splendour, the veiled splendour, the glory of God, the noise, the loud sounds, the flashing, as Moses goes up onto the mountain to the veiled glory of God. And then in verse 5, the plagues that preceded their exit from Egypt, the pestilence, the plague that followed at his heels. And then in verses 6 and 7, the trembling of the nations as Israel journey from Egypt into the promised land. So that's, we read of that in Moses' song after the Red Sea. In Exodus 15, he sings, the peoples have heard, they tremble. Pangs have seized the inhabitants of Philistia. Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed. Trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm. They are as still as stone. Till your people, O Lord, pass by, till the people pass by whom you have purchased. The whole earth has witnessed the glory of the Lord. And he sings of that as they journey through. We saw that in Joshua chapter 2, didn't we? In Jericho, the peoples melt away in fear of what they've heard of the Lord doing. And then the water miracles. As in verse 8, your wrath against the rivers, O Lord, your anger against the rivers, your indignation against the sea, when you rode on your horses, on your chariot of salvation. These creation miracles, the mountains saw you and writhed, the raging waters swept on, the deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hand on high. As Israel crossed the Red Sea, as they crossed the Jordan, they see the glory of the Lord. Moses sings of that too. He describes it as God sneezing as they cross the Red Sea. Exodus 15 verse 8. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The floods stood in a pile. The deeps congealed in the heart of the sea. The Lord's glory has been seen in the past. That's what Habakkuk is singing about. We all know about it, he sings. The nations know about it. Verse 11, the sun and moon stood still in their place. That refers to something we haven't come to yet in Joshua. In Joshua 10, when the sun stands still until the conquest is done. That's all referred to here by Habakkuk in his song. Verse 12 and 13, the complete possession of the land. And that's only when the enemies are crushed and exposed. When those who, in the terms of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 15, those who would stare on the nakedness of others are exposed themselves and brought to shame. The complete possession of the land that they experienced. Verse 14 and 15, the overwhelming of all those who sought to pursue and conquer Israel as they travelled on their way into the land. So we saw that this morning with Pharaoh's armies. As Pharaoh resolved to pursue Israel into the sea, that he is overwhelmed by the sea as it goes over him. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. As we saw this morning in Ai, the pursuers from that city, overwhelmed again by the Lord's hand as he closes in on them with Joshua and his forces. You went out, says Habakkuk, for the salvation of your people. Verse 13, for the salvation of your anointed. This is what you did, Lord. And the earth was full of your praise. Everyone saw it, Lord. Do it again, Lord. That's what Habakkuk is singing and saying, isn't he? Do it again. Verse 2 of chapter 3. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. He's relying on a promise that the Lord himself has just made in chapter 2, verse 14. The Lord himself said, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There was a time when the whole earth saw the Lord's glory. There will be a time again, says the Lord. And Habakkuk simply sings that. He makes it into a prayer. Do it again, Lord. Fill the whole earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And that is our song too, isn't it, as the church? Do it again, Lord, so that everyone will see your glory. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, who John tells us, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known, the full, final revelation of God in Jesus Christ. And yet the world didn't know him and refused to know him. And we say, Lord, reveal yourself fully and finally when the Lord returns. And so we read in Matthew chapter 24, then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth, they will see him and they will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. All the earth will see his glory when he comes. Do it, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, is the prayer. That's the essence of this whole prayer in chapter 3 of Habakkuk. And I'd just like us to notice some more qualities of this prayer that we can grow in as we sing along with Habakkuk. So firstly, I'd like us to notice that he is resting in the Lord's justice. He's resting in the Lord's justice as he sings this song of prayer. We see that in verse 2 and verse 16. The Lord's justice. Do it again, Lord. Revive it. I will wait, verse 16, quietly for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. I will wait. I'm going to rest in the coming of your justice. I don't know if you've been following the story of the post office sub-postmasters and as it rumbles on and on and on. And we can't help but be touched by the real suffering of so many people in this situation, the injustice that has been recognised and that is slowly being sorted out. And you may have watched that drama on TV, which we watched and enjoyed watching, but the sense you get from it is of victims who feel let down by the justice system itself. So there's one man who testifies and he says, I couldn't afford a solicitor to represent me as a sub-postmaster, so I represented myself. But I had a trust in the system of justice, that justice would be done. And in fact, it wasn't in his case. He was badly let down. And that is, sadly, the testimony, isn't it, of us when we rely on humans who have limits, who are flawed. Every system we might rely on for justice will ultimately let us down in some way. But not God. When we trust in him for justice, that is sure and that is certain. He cannot let us down. He will act perfectly. He will act wisely in all his ways. So our trust in him need have no limit or any caveat at all. We can fully rest in it. I will wait. I will quietly wait. That means I will surrender my control, my holding anything back, and wholly trust in the Lord. Habakkuk has raised a serious complaint with the Lord. He is noticing real injustice around him. He is observing the real wickedness of the Babylonians, who the Lord is now saying he's going to send to sort out the problem of injustice in Judah. But he now has been brought to a point where he says, no, I will wholly trust in the justice of the Lord, for he has done it before, and he will do it again, for he is faithful. Justice will certainly come. There will be no errors. No one will slip through the net. There will be no corruption in this system of any kind. I will rest in it. And he does that with a due sense of trembling, doesn't he? He says, verse 2, I have heard the report of your work, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. And then in verse 16, I hear, and my body trembles, my lips quiver, rottenness, my legs tremble. And yet I will calmly and quietly and restfully wait for the day of trouble to come on those who invade us. I'm going to wait for you to do justice as should be done. He does that with trembling because he's acutely aware of his own need for mercy, of their own need for mercy. As he says, in wrath, remember mercy. He has had a sense, as we saw this morning, of the awesome fearsomeness of the Lord, of his power, revealed to the world in the Exodus and in the going into the land, to be revealed again to the whole world. And so with trembling, he says, I will be calm. Again, that paradox of faith, that trembling calm and trust and rest in God. Nothing has changed in his circumstances, but he's now able to sing this song of faith, looking to the justice that must surely come. And it goes against his instinct as much as it goes against our instinct. We want things resolved now, and usually in the way that we think they ought to be resolved. Apparently, the credit card Access, which I don't think exists anymore, but they used to have an advert that said, takes the waiting out of wanting. We want it now, and I want it in my terms. And Habakkuk says, no, I'm going to rest in God's justice in his time. And that is the tone of our waiting in faith too, isn't it? As Christians, we must rest in God's justice. That doesn't mean that we should now, therefore, sit back and have no concern and care for the world around us, for people's daily needs, for our own daily needs, for the environment that we are given as stewards of. It doesn't mean that we're not involved in action that alleviates injustice now. But we're very careful in the way we understand that and the way we speak about it. So we don't speak about it, as you will hear some agencies will speak about it, as bringing about the kingdom of God. That's not what we're doing. We're loving our neighbour as commanded, but we're not bringing about the kingdom of God in that sense. That comes when God the Father sends his Son as he gathers the church to himself. But we are to be active in the things we see around us. And it doesn't mean that we, just resting in the Lord's justice to come, doesn't mean that we needn't go out and proclaim this gospel that we're given. In fact, that's what we're told to do, isn't it? We are to be active in this. We are to tell people of salvation and judgment. we're to take it to the corners of the earth. And whether that means to every community in Herne Bay, which we have no normal part of, it's not part of our lives, perhaps, or our circles, but it's still a community that needs reaching with the gospel. We should be praying for ways in to all of these different communities in our town so that the gospel will go to every corner. It doesn't mean that we don't support Bible translation for Southeast Asia to dialects where they don't even have a gospel in their own language. Of course we do. So we rest deeply, quietly, without anxiety in God's justice. And we do that in an active way, in that sense. Secondly, Habakkuk sings, not only resting, but he rejoices. He sings rejoicing in the Lord's salvation. We see that in verse 18. Yet, another yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. So yet I will quietly wait. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. There's a note of resolve here in Habakkuk, isn't there? There's a note of preaching to myself, yet, come on, soul, do this. This is what we need to do in God's strength. And I don't know about you in your walk with the Lord, but I find it more and more necessary to preach to myself, to say gospel truths to myself. Come on, soul, yet I will resolve to do this. Because all the time, every day, we face new challenges, new disappointments with ourselves and our situations, new challenges, new sadnesses, new burdens. They get heavier. They don't seem to get lighter. Life seems to get more complicated, not simpler, doesn't it? And so we need to preach and say things to ourselves. We need to say, soul, yet I will. I will rest in God's justice. I will rejoice in the Lord. And Habakkuk needs to say this, doesn't he? Because he's in a world full of injustice, even amongst the people of God. And that will tend not to encourage him to rejoice. That will tend to encourage him to have the opposite effect, won't it? It will be a downward spiral of mood and everything else, unless he can put the brakes on and say, yet, looking back at all that the Lord has done, I will rejoice, knowing what he will do. It's not a kind of, yet I will put my head in the sand and pretend these things are not real and not deal with them. No, it's not that. But I will resolve to rejoice, to find my joy, my deepest joy and delight in the Lord and his character. Because it's interesting, isn't it? He doesn't say, actually, I will rejoice in my salvation. He says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. And that's the deepest root of his delight and his joy. So it's not what can I get from God and that will give me joy and happiness. I'm going to delight in him himself. And the salvation is his gift to me, flowing from him. For that is who he is. He's a saving God, a rescuing God. But my delight, my joy, my rejoicing is in him. That's what Paul captures in his letter to the Philippians, isn't it? He says, for me, to live is Christ. Not, I get going every day because I know that I've been saved. Well, yes, that's true, but my deepest delight, my life is Christ. And to die is gain because I will be with Christ in his eternal presence. We rejoice. Not in what I can get out of Jesus, but in him himself. And that's what eternity means, everlasting delight in him. So we'll sing along with Habakkuk if we are resting in the Lord's justice in his time and rejoicing in the Lord himself and the salvation that he gives us. And finally, if we are relying on the Lord's strength. There's not a yet here, but it is the same sense of feeling in verse 19. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. I will rest, I will rejoice, I will rely on the Lord's strength. He's echoing Psalm 18 here, which is a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord rescued him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. That's the title of that psalm, where we read in Psalm 18, verse 31, "For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights." So at the end of his song, Habakkuk identifies his security and his future hope bound up in the Messiah, the Christ King, God's anointed King, that line of blessing that he knows is promised. And that's through whom all the resolution will come, all this future glory being revealed, this justice coming to the nations, everyone recognizing and acknowledging the living God will come through the Messiah. Justice will be done at the coming of the Messiah. Good news to the poor. The lame will walk, the blind will see. He knows all of that. He roots it all in that. His blessing is bound up in the coming of the Messiah. And that is our strongest line in, isn't it? For that is where our blessing lies. That's how we join in with Habakkuk's song, for we're on the same line. It is all found in the Lord Jesus, as he came and fulfilled those prophecies. Justice was coming, good news to the poor. And as he died and was raised up, his steps did not slip, and he strengthens our steps as we follow him. "I will be with you to the end of the age." And he knows and has warned that strength will be needed for these days. Just as Habakkuk looks around and he says, "Lord, how long? I can't do this much longer, Lord. It's awful. It's awful here. It's awful out there. How long, Lord?" And we join him in that song, and Jesus says, "Patience, wait, I'm with you. Rest, rejoice, rely on my strength. Yes, the church will be hated for my sake," says Jesus. "Yes, there will be suffering, there will be persecution, there will be tribulation. Yes, believers will not be spared the same brokenness, the same health disasters in their lives, the same obstacles, the same house purchases falling through, the same job disappointments, unjust bosses, all the rest of it. All the things in life which come our way as part of living in these last days as we long for justice to come." And Jesus says, "Yes, that is what it will be like, but I will be with you and I am coming again. Rest, rejoice, and rely on my strength." So as we come to the end of this prophecy, we are challenged to sing along with Habakkuk. There's a slight irony in the fact that at the end of chapter 2, it says, the Lord says, let all the earth keep silence before him. And then we have a great big song. But that is what it is like, isn't it? We're not adding to the Lord's words. We're responding to them in answering speech of prayer and in praise. That's what we're doing. And we join in with Habakkuk as we wait. Finally, I'd like to read again the words we read earlier on from Romans chapter 8 as Paul reflects on this. And just listen to these words and find comfort in them as he describes what it is like to be a Habakkuk in our generation, waiting for the Lord's justice to come. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you will help us to sing along with Habakkuk this prayer of patience. Yet I will quietly wait for the justice of the Lord. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord who gives me salvation. Yet I will rely on the Lord for all his strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Amen.